Good morning again.
Good morning.
You notice no PowerPoint again. You should have a handout in your bulletin if you found one. The points are on one side and the word search on the other. It is good to see all you here this morning. 18,000 letters in 1 year.
Wow.
Some of you may send that many texts in a year, right? Or a month. Yeah. 18,000. What a blessing the Annie Armstrong offering is to our country. We're going to continue in Matthew chapter 15. So we're coming to the end of our gospel here. We've got two chapters left. We've got 3 weeks till Easter. 4 weeks and we'll be done with this book. Mark chapter 15. It takes that second time of saying it to go, no, that's wrong. Mark chapter 15, first 20 verses. Have you ever let someone take the fall for something you did? No? A lot of head shakes, no. If you have siblings, then it's probably a yes. Your brother or sister probably got blamed for something that you did. Something you broke. Something went missing. Maybe it was the cookies. Whatever it was.
Something got broke?
Yeah, something got broke. Have you ever changed the rules of the game so you could win? You ever changed the rules of the game you were playing? Made it shorter because you were ahead? Made it longer because you needed to catch up. I think about basketball. I'm playing horse. You guys know this game? The person behind you has to hit the shot or they get a letter. Sometimes horse turns into horses. Maybe it turns into hippopotamus. Whatever it is, so you can get the victory. Today we'll see this unfold in our text. We won't see a hippopotamus. But we will see this unfold in our text with Jesus and these religious leaders and the Romans. We will see rule changes and we will see someone taking the fall for others. And we will look at it today in the form of substitutions. Three substitutions. A substitution of crimes, a substitution of verdicts, and a substitution for Barabbas. Mark chapter 15, verse 1. Let's stand together to read God's word. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priest accused him of many things. And Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you?" But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. Among the rebels in prison who had committed murder and insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. And they led him out to crucify him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this morning, and we thank you this time we have together to dive into your word. Father, help our hearts and our minds in these moments. Help these words set upon us and help us leave this place changed for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Last week we looked at the denial of Peter. In between the trials of Jesus, we saw our favorite disciple fall. The rooster crowed and he was crushed, and his Savior watched it happen. We said we all have had moments in our lives in which we have fallen short, just like Peter. The falling is not what reveals your Christianity or lack thereof. It is the repentance. It is the Spirit-filled, life-changing turn from your sins that reveals your Christianity, that reveals your faith in Christ. This week, we will turn from the Jewish trial and Peter's denial to the trial by the Romans. Let's begin with the handoff of Jesus and the accusation, a substitution of crimes. Where are we in our gospel today? Our text says it was morning, which means the sun is up on this Friday, and Jesus will sacrifice himself for us before the sun sets on this day. We have seen the denial of Peter, and now these religious leaders pass Jesus to the Romans for his fate to be sealed. Remember, we said this had to happen because these religious leaders wanted Jesus dead, but they could not do it themselves. It also had to happen because Jesus was said to be pierced for our transgressions, and the Romans are the only ones crucifying people. So these religious leaders lack the power of the Romans, and the Romans are used by God to complete this task. Never forget, God is always in control. Since the leaders do not have the authority to put someone to death, they must implore the Romans for this fate. And they must make it convincing. This is where our substitution takes place, and it is a sneaky one. Our text has a question asked by Pilate of Jesus, and it is, "Are you the King of the Jews?" We see in our text where it says the chief priest accused him of many things, but we know the charge is one thing, blasphemy. We also see this question. Why? Because these leaders have now changed the charge. It needed to be blasphemy to complete their trial, and now it needs to be kingship. We see this change in Luke 23, verse 1. Then the whole company of them arose and brought before him before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." There are a few slaps to Jesus even in that statement. First, when they lie about giving to Caesar, since we looked at it in Mark when he said, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's." They also call him a king. They charge him with blasphemy, not for being a king, but for claiming he is the King of Kings. More importantly for us is why they had to change this charge for him. The Romans could not care less about religious matters. They could have come to Pilate and said, "This man claims to be God," and they might possibly have let him be worshipped right alongside every other god ever mentioned. This is who the Romans were. Religious matters were all inclusive and of no consequence to them, just as long as they were in power. This means bow before Rome and any other god you want. The Pharisees knew this. So they say he came to overthrow Caesar instead. That turned on the red light. These leaders charged Jesus with a religious crime, but had to change it to a political one to get the Romans on their side. Why does this switch matter to us? Well, first it matters because this switch got Jesus to the cross to pay for our sins. The sneakiness and vileness of these religious elites resulted in your sins being paid for on the cross. God works in mighty ways, doesn't it? Ways we cannot begin to comprehend. If you are stuck in a rough patch currently, know that God, if God used his death of his own son on a cross for you, then he will also use what is going on currently in your life. Even if you can't see it yet. Secondly, Jesus has told us repeatedly that what they do to him, they will do to you. None of us are safe from the persecution that Jesus himself had to bear. Remember, everyone has a cross. Remember, no one is above the master. This means that this kind of deceit will be seen by us as well. What's an example? It was political in our text, and it is political for us. The world around us, we'll take our God-given scriptures and turn them against us. They already have. If you believe the Bible, then you hate people. This is what is said. It couldn't possibly be further from the truth. Roman culture is not too far off from our own. Believe in whatever you want is what we are told, as long as it is deemed by the world as important. What the world deems as acceptable. As long as your beliefs take a back seat to the world around you, then you can go in peace. What should we take away from this? No matter what they did to Jesus, he was not going to lose focus for you. He was not going to be deterred from his task. The Jewish people said, "You are not our God." The Romans said, "You cannot be our king." Scripture tells us they were both right. Only the sheep hear the shepherd. And this was not these leaders. Only God's people bow down before him, and this was not the Romans. Neither group would claim him. And he was not here for them. He came for you and for me. He goes to the cross for everyone who will ever believe in him. This is some in these crowds in our text. And this is even some who come against him. And it is every one of us who believe in him. He did not go to that cross for crimes that he had committed, but rather to carry your crimes for you. Is he your Savior? Does he have your trust, your faith, your allegiance? Or do you treat him like the Romans did? Just another religious leader. Who is he to you? The crime charged was changed to fit the result wanted. And next we will see that the verdict was changed to a substitution of verdicts. This gets a little lost in our text today in Mark. But since we are drawing from all of our gospel accounts to get a clearer picture of what is going on, we will notice something here. We see Pilate amazed by the fact that Jesus does not defend himself against the accusations. "Are you the king of the Jews?" was the question, and Jesus responded, "You say so." It was amazing to Pilate that a so-called king would not stand up for himself. This was seen by Pilate as an act of innocence. But this was not the only reason why Pilate thinks Jesus is innocent. Matthew's account tells us that Pilate does indeed believe Jesus to be innocent, And he says that envy is the reason why Jesus has been delivered to him, just like our text in Mark. Sounds like he has it figured out. Matthew's account also includes Pilate's wife. She sends word to him to have nothing to do with that righteous man. She had a dream about him. Luke tells us that Pilate figured out that Jesus was from Galilee. Remember how much time he spent in Galilee? So he sent him over to the person in charge of Galilee, Herod. This is Pilate trying to wash his hands of this issue, only for Herod to return Jesus to him. In Luke 23:13, we get this interaction with Pilate and the leaders after this takes place. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people, and after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish him and release him." This is seemingly the verdict of Pilate. "I find no guilt in this man, and I will release him." How do we know that this verdict did not stand? Well, Jesus and the cross and his death and his resurrection are the sources of our salvation. We know it took place, but why did the verdict change? The Jewish people threw a fit. Luke tells us that he gathered the priests, the rulers, and the people. The very same people that 5 days ago shouted in the streets, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." What changes is the fact that Pilate could not afford an insurrection on his watch, and these people that have now turned their backs on the Son are promising one. It was essentially the ruler of Jerusalem and the surrounding areas of Rome, for Rome, giving into a tantrum. If you want to see what this looks like, then spend a few moments in a grocery store. You will no doubt run into a kid screaming for the chips or the candy that they have to have, and they do it with a power and might that you have not seen out of anyone so small. Maybe on the ground, maybe rolling around, who knows what's going on. The parent who has vowed to never give in to this kind of action is now weighing their options in a moment. Do I get out of here and punish this kid? That was the only option for as long as I can remember. Or do I ignore it? Just let it go on. Or do I give in to keep from causing a scene? We've all seen this, and some have been in this moment. If this were our text, then Pilate is the parent giving in to the screaming toddler. That is what this scene is. Pilate knew he was innocent, and Pilate's own wife told him to stay away from Jesus, and Herod did not charge him. Everything he knew and was surrounded by was telling him to let this man go. But in a moment of weakness, he turned from the truth he knew and gave into the shouts and tantrums of the world around him. This is us in the world. If you have faith in the Son, which means you have the Spirit of God in your life, then you live in a world that is not your own. You live in a world surrounded by shouts and tantrums, and their sole purpose is to bring you down, to make you weak in the moment. If you have not had moments of weakness, then get ready, because they will come. All are sinners, and no one is perfect, and we are promised persecution and sufferings for having faith in the Son. When these times arise, we need to remember this moment with Pilate, and we need to fight to hold our ground on this truth that is our Bible. Jesus is our anchor when trouble comes, and he will not break way. Lean into your Father for prayer and study. And lean into your church for comfort and support, and lean into your Savior. He will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. And if you are His, He will never let you go. If you are His. Make sure you are His. And not just some person who knows of the truth, but will not stand for it. Pilate knew of the truth, but he could not stand for it. We must know the truth to know what to stand on, and we must stand firm upon it.
Amen.
Do not be Pilate in the moment. Pilate changes the verdict when the pressure is on him. And next, we will see one more substitution taking place. The substitution of Barabbas. So far, both the charge and the verdict have been changed. Jesus is now taken away in our text, and he is beaten and mocked and humiliated and is being prepared for his crucifixion. His purpose on this earth is upon him as the cross comes into focus. The moment that changes the whole world forever is beginning to weigh on him. There was one more step between the guilty verdict and the crucifixion, however. One last attempt by Pilate in our passage to clear his conscience. We know the Passover is being celebrated on this Friday, and we know the Feast of Unleavened Bread is going on. During this festival, Pilate has made it a custom to give back to the Jewish community one of their own, a prisoner. It is sort of a peace offering during this time of year when the Jewish community outnumbers the Romans vastly in this area. Remember, people have traveled all across this area to be in Jerusalem for the Passover. They all had to be there on this day. So Pilate keeps them calm with one of their own released from jail. With this custom in mind, Pilate makes one last attempt to free Jesus. Okay, I find him guilty, but now it's time to give you back a prisoner. How about Jesus? How about the King of the Jews? Since we know the cross was his destination, we also know that this did not go over well. Enter Barabbas. If you've been a Christian for very long, then you probably know this name, Barabbas. Barabbas was a guilty man, guilty of insurrection and robbery and murder. He was part of a group that would terrorize the upper-class citizens of both Israel and Rome. He was actually liked by the common crowd for his harassment of the rich. He was a guilty man, and his fate was death. Or it was death until Jesus was arrested. Now both Barabbas and Jesus stand before this crowd of commoners and rulers and priests. They stand before them, and the crowd has a choice to make. Is it Barabbas or is it Jesus? Spare one, condemn the other. The crowd yells, "Free Barabbas and crucify Jesus. Crucify him," they say. What a difference a week makes. The crowds go from welcoming the Messiah with shouts of joy and praise to condemning him to death. What happened? Well, first, these crowds were misinformed by their leaders. They are buying into charges and false stories. They are buying into the fact that Jesus was not who he said he was. A misinformed crowd will make misinformed decisions. We could see these leaders fueling this fire, even in our text. Secondly, they were disappointed to find that their hero and their savior looks much more common than they imagined. Remember, our study has revealed to us that although Jesus came to us to save us from our own sins, the people in this area awaited a savior from Rome. That's who they wanted saving from. They wanted a king to ride in and take over. They wanted to see the might of a son of David and the power of an Elijah. And instead, Jesus tells them to continue to do what Rome says. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. He tells them he is the Messiah, but this is not his kingdom, and insurrection is not his goal. So when the leader for Rome in this area stands before them and asks if he should spare their Savior's life, they realize he would not be overthrowing Rome, and they cut their losses. Give us Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. There are a couple of ironies to see here in this moment. The first is that the hate and anger in this moment, in this crowd, leads to the most loving act of all of human history. The man who knew no sin took our sins upon him. The man that so loved the world that he laid down his life for it. The man who so desired that all would see the light of heaven that he gave himself over to the forces of darkness. The light of the world is headed to the cross. The one who created all things and holds all things together is now headed to die for creation. He's now headed to the cross to pay for the very sins of these people that send him to the cross. Do we understand this? Let this sacrifice set upon you. Would you die to save the people killing you? No. Only God would do this. Only God could do this. The other irony to see lies with Barabbas, a man who was guilty, without a doubt, of the crimes he is charged with. A man who knew he deserved death was spared. How? Jesus took his place. The innocent stood in place of the guilty. The innocent paid the price for the guilty. This is everyone's story who believes. All are sinners, and all are guilty, and all deserve hell. But Jesus has taken our place. Jesus has paid our price. The Son of God became flesh and dwelt among us to save us. Living the perfect sinless life and becoming the perfect sacrifice before God is how he did it. When he stood in the place of Barabbas, he stood in the place of us all. God so loved the world, indeed. Let me be clear. All are sinners in this fallen world. And all deserve hell. This is what Scripture says. But no matter what you have lived through, no matter what you yourself have done, if you have life-changing faith in the Son, then your slate has been wiped clean. It does not matter what your past looks like if you have turned from your sins and toward your Savior. That unforgivable act is forgiven by God. Those moments of weakness count against you no more. If the Spirit of God works within you, and you have now realized Jesus died for you, then heaven is yours. Forgiveness is yours. The crowd chose Barabbas. And by taking his place, Jesus chose you. Faith alone saves. Is this you? What did we see today? Jesus charged with whatever crime it took to get him to the cross. Pilate ignoring all the signs of innocence to get Jesus to the cross. A guilty man set free to get Jesus to the cross. Maybe at some point along the way, your thought has been, how could all this happen to the Son of God? The answer is, because he wanted it to happen. Yeah. He was always in control. He always knew his destination, his purpose, his path. He always knew his people would turn from him. He always knew the Romans would turn from him. He always knew we would turn from him. This is why he came. This is why, though in complete control and completely innocent, he is still found guilty. He did it for his people who ignored him. And he did it for the Romans who would eventually turn to him. And he did it for me. And he did it for you.
Amen.
Think about it. Barabbas had no hope and stood on the morning of what was possibly his last day. Then Jesus took his place. He took the place for everyone who believes in him. Did he stand in your place? If you've known this answer is yes for as long as you can remember, praise him now. Thank him now. Ask him to use you to reach others now. If you're realizing that Jesus stood in your place for the very first time, then now is the time to acknowledge him as your Savior, to acknowledge that you are a sinner saved by the Son of God. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And you will move from standing in your guilt to being covered by his innocence today. We have all been Barabbas. Have you been covered by Jesus? Answer this as we sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for this time and this opportunity we have to gather together as your people. As people saved by Jesus, your Son. Father, we thank you so much for this word that is your truth, that is your Bible. Father, we ask that these words are pressed upon our hearts and our minds as we leave this place. We know there are many out there that believe themselves to be Barabbas, believe themselves guilty of crimes that cannot possibly be forgiven, cannot possibly be overlooked. Father, we know this because we were once in this place. Help us reach out to help others see Jesus. They need a Savior even if they didn't know it, because we once didn't know it. Help us to be your church. In Jesus' name, I pray.